A reading from the book of the prophet Amos. Thus says the Lord, on that day, I will raise up the fallen hut of David. I will wall up its breaches, raise up its ruins, and rebuild it as in the days of old, that they may conquer what is left of Edom. And all the nations that shall bear my name, say I, the Lord, who will do this. Yes, days are coming, says the Lord, when the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the vintager, him who sows the seed. The juice of grapes shall drip down the mountains, and all the hills shall run with it. I will bring about the restoration of my people Israel. They shall rebuild and inhabit their ruined cities, plant vineyards and drink the wine, set out gardens and eat the fruits. I will plant them upon their own ground. Never again shall they be plucked from the land I have given them, say I, the Lord your God. The word of the Lord. The Lord speaks of peace to his people. I will hear what God proclaims, the Lord, for he proclaims peace to his people. Near indeed is his salvation to those who fear him, glory dwelling in our land. Kindness and truth shall meet. Justice and peace shall kiss. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and justice shall look down from heaven. The Lord himself will give his benefits. Our land shall yield its increase. Justice shall walk before him, and salvation along the way of his steps.
Dominus vobiscum. Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Matteum.
The disciples of John approached Jesus and said, "Why do we and the Pharisees fast much, but your disciples do not fast?" Jesus answered them, "Can the wedding guests mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast. No one patches an old cloak with a piece of unshrunken cloth, for its fullness pulls away, and the cloak and then tears and gets worse. People do not put new wineskins into old wineskins. Otherwise, the skins burst, and the wine spills out, and the skins are ruined. Rather, they pour new wine into fresh wineskins, and both are preserved.
Verbum Domini.
As followers of Christ, there are times when we fast, and there are times when we feast. We rejoice in our relationship with Christ, but at the same time, we mourn for our sinfulness. Only in Christianity can feasting and true contrition for our sins coexist, feasting and fasting, and there be a harmony. Fasting and feasting are both part of the Christian life. Today is a feast of forgiveness. Christians never fast from forgiveness. First begging the mercy and forgiveness of God, and then extending that same forgiveness that they have received toward others that have violated or hurt them or someone that they love dearly. We always stay close to the table of forgiveness, never far away, close to this feast of the Lord. But that being said, forgiveness is not easy. Forgiveness is a grace, straight from the heart of God. One of the holiest little girls in heaven, St. Maria Goretti, an 11-year-old girl, the first-class relic of her to intercede for us, to pray for us, for the grace that we need, that we all need, to forgive. And she modeled in her life what forgiveness means, what this feast means, what coming to the feast of forgiveness, not only in her life and death, but after she died. That story is for a little bit later. The message from today's gospel is a warning from the Lord not to have a closed mind in learning new things, especially the new things of grace. Grace in order to live the Christian life. Grace in order to forgive and extend forgiveness. In the gospel, John the Baptist's disciples were concerned that the disciples of Christ were not fasting. Fasting was considered one of the three most important religious duties, alongside prayer and almsgiving. In his explanation to John's disciples, notice Jesus does not condemn fasting at all. He simply helps them to understand the joy of entering into a relationship with him. Jesus compares this relationship to the joy that wedding guests should experience at the presence of a newlywed couple, a bridegroom and a bride. Weddings are a joyful occasion. Thanks be to God, I've never been to a sad wedding. That would be ridiculous. Absolutely absurd. Weddings are supposed to be one of the most joyful things on the planet. Married love, an image of God's love for humanity. A newlywed couple brings joy and hope. And put this in context of our relationship with the Lord. Jesus was explaining to John's disciples that he is the bridegroom and his disciples are the bride. We are the bride. There's one bridegroom. In relationship to God, we are the bride, the mystical body of Christ. He is giving us the imagery of the relationship between himself and the church. In this specific gospel passage, Jesus encourages John's disciples that to follow him means entering into a new type of relationship, a new type of friendship. Jesus clearly says that when the bridegroom is not here, there will be a time for fasting. Jesus did not come to abolish the old law, but came to bring it to completion, to its ultimate fulfillment. And let's ponder the imagery that Jesus uses of old and new wineskins. He used this imagery that people would relate to and to comprehend. Wine was not stored in bottles as today, but in wineskins. While the wine was fermenting in the wineskins, there would be pressure on the wineskins from the gases that were being released. This is part of the fermentation process. And this is why new wineskins were used. If old wineskins were used to pour wine into before the fermentation process, the old wineskins would burst. They could not simply hold the pressure. Here's another meaning. Imagine we are old wineskins. The new life of grace and the Holy Spirit cannot be poured into old wineskins. Our old selves must die, must be put to death, must be transformed. There needs to be transformation in us, interior restoration, inside, not just outside. The inside of the cup needs to be cleaned. Jesus converts our old condition, our old beat-up wineskins, and transforms us and gives us new wineskins to live the law of grace, to receive the gifts that God wants to give us. And you might even say a greater capacity to love. Married couples, you know you need a greater capacity to love when you start living with another human being. In religious life too, we need a greater capacity to love in living with other human beings. You need to be stretched. Your wineskin needs to be stretched. Old wineskins won't do. We need the new life of grace, transformation in the heart. Old wineskins cannot stretch, and we need to be stretched. That's the Christian life, constantly being stretched and pushed beyond our limitations. When the Lord fills us with his gifts, we are able to enter into a new type of relationship with him. The Lord gives us this capacity to stretch, to be conformed, to change. He gives us the grace to overcome the weak wineskins of our lives, the wineskins that have cracks and are deficient. And only the Lord can bring about this transformation. The old wineskins were the law and the prophets leading up to Christ. They couldn't be stretched anymore. Jesus brought the law and the prophets to completion and fulfillment and brought about new wineskins, the law of grace and the Holy Spirit. So a question might be, what do our own personal wineskins look like? Bring that to prayer. What does my wineskin look like? What type of interior restoration do I need the Holy Spirit to work about in my life? Only by faith and repentance can the Lord transform the old into the new. The invitation to repentance and interior restoration is a deeply personal one. It doesn't look the same for each person. Each and every person is unique and totally unrepeatable. So your path to Christ, your path to interior restoration, will look completely different, even different than your spouse's. Pray for that. Even pray for your spouse. Pray for interior restoration. He calls every human person to follow him in a very personal and unique way. Today, Saint Maria Goretti had chosen and was known for her desire to consecrate her virginity to Christ from a very young age. And this was a deeply personal response to Christ's invitation, follow me. Maria was murdered by her neighbor Alessandro Ceritelli, who attempted to rape her. Maria said that she would rather die. She would rather die than to commit sin. Alessandro repeatedly stabbed her with a knife, and before her death in the hospital, Maria forgave Alessandro and said that she wanted him to go to heaven. That was her greatest aspiration, heaven, not just for herself, but for her murderer, the one who violated her. After years of being incarcerated, Alessandro was still unrepentant until one day Maria appeared to him in a dream and came to him with 14 lilies. 14 lilies for the 14 times he stabbed her. He woke up a changed man. He repented, and after 27 years in prison, was released. He immediately went to Maria's mother's house to beg forgiveness. And her mother, Assunta, said, Alessandro, God has forgiven you. Maria has forgiven you. Who am I to withhold forgiveness? That's new wineskins. Only God can bring about that type of transformation. In Maria, in the heart of Alessandro, in the heart of her mother, who grieved the loss of her children. And not just, I might add, not just the loss of Maria, but the loss of the entire family was destroyed. She could not even take care of the rest of her children because her husband had passed away earlier, and she had to give her other children up for adoption because she could not take care of the other children. The entire family was destroyed. Maria's mother, Assunta, not only forgave Alessandro, but she then took him as her son. That is forgiveness, if I don't know what is. Not just offering forgiveness, but taking the murderer of your child as your son. See what forgiveness does? See what we're called to? This is the new life of grace. This is interior transformation. An 11-year-old girl still teaches us what it means to forgive. And many people, no doubt, maybe those here, maybe those who are watching via television or listening via radio, maybe find yourself in a position where it is very difficult to forgive. Maybe holding on to things from the past that are very tragic, that are horrible. And without the grace of God, we simply can't forgive. Mere human strength, our mere human hearts cannot find the capacity to forgive. But with God, all things are possible. All things are possible. You find yourself in a position where you cannot possibly forgive. And I know there's at least one person out there. Ask for the grace. Beg God. This is a feast that God wants to give. This is something we don't ever fast from. Beg God for the grace of interior transformation. The grace that you don't have to give. The grace to release the debt that we hold on to from all the unforgiveness that we've taken on throughout our lives. Ask God for the grace to release that, to not hold on to that debt, and to simply give it back, to hand it over. Maria was canonized a saint. And I'll close by saying this, by saying that her murderer, Alessandro, was right next to Assunta, her mother, when Saint Maria Goretti was canonized a saint. Her murderer was there, right there, and received Holy Communion right next to Assunta. Again, the Feast of Forgiveness. This is the first canonization that ever took place outside. Why? Because there were so many people there. So many people came to St. Peter's Basilica that day that they couldn't hold it within the church. They had to have the canonization outside. In St. Peter's. I asked St. Maria Goretti, through the intercession of her and her life, experiencing the peace of Christ, the interior restoration, the forgiveness that she offered to Alessandro, I asked that her forgiveness, the same forgiveness that she experienced in her life, be given to you. That anything in your life that needs to be let go of, to be forgiven. Through her intercession, may the blessing of Almighty God come upon you, and may Almighty God give you the grace that you need to forgive. Through Maria Goretti's intercession, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.